And you can be seated. And as you are being seated, let me invite you to turn in your copy of the Word of God to James chapter 5. The book of James, toward the end of the New Testament, just after Hebrews chapter 5. And that will be our scripture reading this morning. Give you time to find it. Just want to briefly mention, if you have the sermon note outline, it's been reversed. So that's the problem of after you print something, it's kind of there for good. But anyway, I think you're smart enough to follow along as you hear. Point number two will be actually point number one. Let's read now from God's holy word, James 5, beginning in verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And here ends the reading of God's Word this morning, and may He add His blessing to it. Would you join me in prayer? Father, as we now open up this Word, Your Word that You have given to us, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would truly open our eyes and our understanding, help us to see what You would have us learn, that we might indeed become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this morning. Amen. Well, if you've heard it once, you've heard it 1,000 times, right? Patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue that we wish everyone had and that they had it right now, right? That's the way normally we think of patience. But patience is much more than just a virtue. Patience, according to Galatians 5:22, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We've looked at those three. And now, patience. What exactly is patience? Maybe you've seen the plaque in a Christian bookstore. It's kind of somewhat comical. It says, Lord, give me patience and let me have it right now. But do we really understand what patience is? Do we really want patience when we find out exactly what it is? Today we're going to look at patience, and we're going to look at James chapter 5 in order to learn a little bit more about what patience is. Now, as we have been following James Anderson's general outline in his book, The Fruit of the Spirit, we've looked at every week thus far the same four basic points. We've looked at the real fruit that needs to be cultivated, the weeds that need to be uprooted, the artificial fruit that needs to be detected, and then we've looked at how to cultivate it. This morning we're modifying that just a little bit. We're not going to look at artificial fruit, for there's not really a whole lot to talk about there. And this morning, I'd like for us to focus, first of all, on the real fruit. That is patience. What exactly is patience? I'd like to look at a variety of definitions that I looked up about patience. But before we do that, I heard a little story about a young man who was really struggling in this area. He was very impatient at home with his children and with his wife, and he would just lose his temper, and he really was convicted about it. So he goes to his pastor, and he says, to this old wise pastor, he says, "Pastor, I'm really struggling with patience. Would you pray and ask the Lord to give me patience?" And the wise old pastor says, "Absolutely. Why don't we pray right now? Oh, Lord, I pray for this young man," he said. "Would you please send this young man tribulation in the morning? Would you, Lord, please bring him trials in the afternoon? And Lord, in the evenings, bring hardship and afflictions into his life." And at that, the young man politely interrupted the pastor and said, "Pastor, I think you misunderstood what I was asking. I was asking you to pray that I would have patience, not trials and persecution." And of course, the wise pastor responded by saying, "That's true. That's what you asked me, but it's through hardship, trials, and persecution where we learn patience." And he was not exactly thrilled to hear that answer. But that's what patience involves. And as far as the definitions of patience, they're going to be up on the board or on the wall here for you. The first definition comes from the dictionary, the online dictionary, and it reads like this. I hate when they give you a definition and have the word in the definition. Don't you hate that? Patience means the quality of being patient. But then they elaborate, as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. That's not really a bad definition. It's the bearing of these things without complaint or loss of temper. The second definition reads like this. Patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. Well, I'm not sure who this guy Ulrich Ruffert is, but there's a little bit of truth to that definition as well. Bill Gothard says this about patience. It's kind of a pretty good definition. Patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. That's pretty good, because oftentimes that's what we're doing when we become impatient. We're saying, "God, I'm not so sure I like your timing." The next definition, patience is an inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is in control. That definition is very similar to what we would call peace. But as we noted a week or two ago, that these fruit, they're somewhat intertwined, and one doesn't really stand alone or apart from the other. They're intricately connected, in the sense that we noted it was a singular noun, the fruit of the Spirit. So they're all somewhat interconnected. The next definition comes from Sanderson, from his own book. Patience is steadfastness in obedience to God despite the pressure to deny Him. Think about that one. And then the last definition I'd like to share with you is this. Patience is waiting for God to work in a difficult situation that causes you suffering. And it is waiting and enduring without complaint. Those are all good descriptions of patience. Having understood those definitions or having looked at them, what I'd like to share with you now is that in the Bible, in the New Testament, I should say, there are three Greek words that are translated in various translations with the English word patience. And those words also give us some insight as to what this patience is and what it ought to look like. Let's look at the first word. And the first word, well, you can find it in Colossians 3:13 and Ephesians 4:1 and 2. Let me read out of Ephesians. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Let me pause there for a minute and ask you, what is the calling to which you have been called? If you are a believer, you have been called to be like Christ, to be transformed into the image of His dear Son. That is part of the calling to which we have been called. And then he goes on in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Now, of course, you see the English word patience there, but in this translation, the word that I'm referring to, aneko, is translated bearing with. And one of the definitions in the lexicon is patience. To be able to bear with one another. Or to put it in a more common term, to put up with people. To put up with those who annoy you. Not to tolerate sin, but to tolerate those idiosyncrasies that someone may have that, you know, it just gets to you. Why do they do this? Why do they put the toilet roll with it coming down the backside instead of the front side or something silly like that? Why do they do this? Or, you know, we need to tolerate and bear with one another. The idea is to sustain or to patiently bear with someone or something. To exercise self-restraint and tolerance and to be able to put up with things and accept them for their idiosyncrasies or little things that get under your skin. The other word is a compound word translated patience in various translations. It means, or it comes from two words, under and abide. Under and abide. Hupomone. And in James chapter 1, and in verses 3 and 4, this is the word, variously translated patience, for you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. King James uses that word there. Steadfastness is the idea. To be able to persevere. You see how these are three synonyms. To bear with. To put up with, to be steadfast about something. The word we're looking at means just that. Steadfastness, endurance, or perseverance. The idea is that it's the patient that bears up under a load and provides steadiness in the midst of life's battles. Steadfastness. Patience. It's the patience that allows a person to endure life's challenges, and we all have our various challenges. It allows us to be able to endure them without giving up, without giving in, and without defeat. Therefore, it has a component of hope and expectation associated with it. Steadfastness, because there's a hope. And then the last word is the word often translated in your older translations, long suffering. Forbearance. Macrothumia. The word to suffer about something with tolerance and longevity. To be long-tempered as opposed to being short-tempered. You don't fly off the cuff immediately. You're able to sustain and hold back that anger. It's the ability to restrain oneself. And of course, this ability and strength is the work of God's grace and Spirit within our lives. If we were to state it negative, it's not losing your temper. In the positive sense, it means also to put up with others. That's what we're talking about. It's the virtue by which wrath is withheld and the sinner is spared and mercy is shown. It's a characteristic of God Himself toward us. It also involves waiting and enduring. That's where the word long-suffering is very descriptive of this particular fruit and virtue. Long-suffering. Proverbs has a helpful commentary on this particular virtue. In 15:18 of Proverbs, we read this, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." This is the parallel synonym. You've got one who is hot-tempered, and then the parallel to that is a patient man. The hot-tempered man, he's going to stir things up because he's not able to hold his temper. But the opposite of that is someone who is patient. He's cool. He doesn't blow it. He's able to control his attitude. And as a result, he calms a quarrel rather than pour fire on it by losing his temper. Which one are you? Do you tend to lose your temper and fuel the discussion into a dissension? Or are you the kind of person that when a quarrel erupts, you're able to calm the situation? That's what we are called to do as Christians. Proverbs 16:32 says this, "Better is a patient man than a warrior." Now, in the time of war and battle, you want a warrior. But in regard to personal relationships, a warrior is not what we're looking for. We're looking for someone who is patient. A man who controls his temper than one who takes the city. So the contrast to the patient man or the parallel to the patient man is one who can control his temper. Proverbs 16:32. Let's see if you pass the patience test. It's Christmas time. You've gone to the mall. You're driving around the parking lot. You know how the parking lot is during Christmas season. You can't find a parking spot, and if you do, it's usually all the way down at the end, but you're driving around. All of a sudden, you see somebody get in their car, and it's right up front. And you pull up, you put on your blinker, you patiently wait for that person to pack their things in the car, get in the car, crank up the car, and they take forever, put their seatbelt on and everything. Finally, they start backing up out of their parking space, and they back up, and just as they back out, somebody zips around you and pulls in. How do you respond? Little rage flares up. You want to get out of the car and say something to that person? How disrespectful. Didn't you see me waiting here with my blinker on? Well, did you pass the patience test? I would have failed. But the Lord is working with me. Patience. It also has weeds. Because when that scenario happens, those weeds are going to start rapidly growing. They're going to start growing so fast that if we don't put the spiritual roundup on it and kill those weeds and uproot those weeds are going to manifest themselves in the form of impatience. That's the weed that needs to be uprooted. The weeds to be uprooted. Patience, impatience. And impatience can take a variety of forms. And there are three ways that we can display impatience. The first one is this: impatience with God. Now, have you ever noticed that the tire goes flat, or the air conditioner breaks, or your roast burns, or something like that happens? When you are in a hurry or you're trying to get somewhere, you've got family coming over after church, and all of a sudden the oven breaks. The roast burns. And you get angry. But remember, that happened according to God's sovereign providence. That is His timetable. Maybe He didn't want you to get there early and gives you a flat tire. Maybe He didn't want you to eat at a certain time and the oven breaks or whatever. We don't know the whys. We just know when it happens. That is God's timetable. And oftentimes we get angry at God's timetable. And you know, one of the greatest examples of this impatience and the consequences, the serious consequences of being impatient with God, is seen in Exodus 32. You remember the story? In Exodus 32, Moses has been up on Mount Sinai for about 40 days now. And the people down on the ground or around the mountain, they're wondering, what's become of this guy Moses? And Exodus 32:1 reads like this: when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. He's taking too long. We don't know what's going on. Therefore, let's take things into our own hands." Well, we know the end of the story. That was not a good idea. They lost patience. They became impatient with God and God's timetable. And as a result, they ultimately sinned. Those stories, remember, are there as examples and warnings. And the principle is, God has a timetable. Don't get impatient with God. The other way we can become impatient, and it's a weed that we need to deal with, is when trials come our way. Remember, we read earlier that trials are actually what God uses to produce steadfastness, endurance, and patience in our lives. But oftentimes when they come, we might have a tendency to get angry with God. And it's a good reminder. James also reminds us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, in the context of James, and as we get back to James, and we will, James 7 is where we began reading. But he says in verse 7 there, "Be patient, therefore, brothers." And that links it to the previous section. And the previous section, he was essentially dealing with the injustices that these people that James was writing to were enduring. They were suffering injustices at the hands of the rich and the greedy in this particular context. And he tells them to be patient. Now, certainly, we don't want to tolerate injustice. Now, but we do not, as individuals, take justice into our own hands. As individuals, we must learn to be patient, as he says there, and to be patient until the coming of the Lord. I think the emphasis there is not so much that James actually thought the Lord was coming. I don't think that he was mistaken concerning the Lord's coming. The idea is to be patient forever until the Lord comes back. Now, yes, indeed, the Lord is coming back and the Lord is at hand, and therefore we ought to be persevering under trial. And then the third form of impatience is seen in verse 9 in our text that we read. Impatience with one another. You see, when we become impatient in trials, we might get a little irritable. And this happens almost weekly in our homes. We get impatient. You might get impatient at home. You might get impatient at work. You get impatient when you're driving down the road. You get impatient about what's going on in the world of politics or whatever. You get then angry. And then what happens is you take it out on one another. And then we get angry and irritable at the things that we see in our brothers and sisters. And verse 9 is a warning. It says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." You leave it to God to be the judge. Don't grumble against one another. That is one of the easiest ways to destroy a relationship. Grumbling, impatience, not bearing and tolerating one another. That's why we see what we saw in Ephesians. Remember what it said? With patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Colossians 3:12, parallel passage. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion." This is what we're to put on. This is what our spiritual garb needs to have. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another forgiving each other, and here it is, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Let us, by the grace of God, remove these weeds so that we can cultivate the fruit of patience. But can we actually do it? Can we really be patient and bear this fruit? Well, of course we can. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, then you can do it. God has called you to do it. In fact, that's where Philippians 4:13 applies, when people use this verse to say they can do anything. Well, that's stretching it a little bit. But when Paul says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, it's saying that we can do all things, whatever God has commanded you to do, you can do it. So if you say, I just am not a patient person, I can't do it, and that's just the way it's going to be forever, that isn't true. Because through Christ, you can. And this passage that we read in James 5 gives us three examples that will help us to cultivate patience. And these three I'd like to share with you now as we close. First of all, in this passage, there are three particular examples. And the first one is seen in verse 7, the patience of the farmer. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You see, if anybody knows patience, it's a farmer, right? Because what does he do? He labors, he prepares the soil, he has to wait in faith, doesn't he, for the rains. Back then, these readers, they didn't have automated irrigation systems and that kind of things, and tractors with fertilizer that they can drive over the field and fertilize the field. They waited in hope and in faith and in trust in the sovereign God that He would send the rains. In the fall, that's when they planted, and then later in the spring when they would harvest, the early and the latter rains. And they waited. So a farmer waits. He knows what it means to patiently wait. He does his task, and then it's out of his hands. Learn that principle. We are to be faithful with what we can do, and then let God do what only He can do. Every farmer knows that the harvest cannot be rushed, cannot be manipulated. It must wait on the process of the harvest. You must wait on what you cannot control. What you cannot control is in the sovereign God's hands. The second example of patience is seen in verse 10. The patience of the prophets. You see, these readers, the ones James was writing to, they understood the Old Testament. They understood about the prophets. In fact, you can go back and read through Hebrews 11 if you're not that familiar with the prophets. But he tells them, consider the prophets as an example of suffering and patience, brothers. Consider the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. That was their task. They faithfully endured, proclaiming the word of the Lord. And we looked a couple of weeks ago at Elijah. Recall Elijah. He was faithful. And then he got discouraged because he thought he was the only one. But he endured. God encouraged him. And then he realized. Daniel, he was faithful. He was thrown into a lion's den. Jeremiah, one of the prophets, suffered tremendously under a variety of different kings in Judah. He was put in stocks. He was thrown in prison. He was lowered down into that miry pit and sunk in the mud. And yet, he endured. He persisted. He is our example. He endured as an example of patience. It's as though he understood what Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then finally, the third example we see here is Job. Behold, verse 11, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness or the patience of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord. That's become a proverb almost. That person has the patience of Job. But oftentimes as I read Job, I wonder, sometimes it seems like he's a little impatient, that he may not be the best example of patience. But ultimately, when it's all said and done, he was a man who endured. What did he endure? He endured the loss of his wealth, his possessions. He endured the loss of his family. He endured the grief of a bitter wife who told him to curse God and die. And above all, I think the greatest endurance and agony that he suffered was he's going through all of these things, knowing in his heart that he had not done anything to deserve judgment. He had all his counselor, his three counselor friends, giving him bad counsel. And he never really knew why he was going through all of that. It's one thing to suffer affliction and judgment because you say, I did this, you know, and now I'm suffering the consequences. Yeah, I did that and I deserve this. But in Job's case, he didn't know why he was going through all this. But he endured, never forsaking his God. And in that sense, he is a model of patience. He endured all of these things. Why did he endure? As you read through the book of Job, you see here and there little glimpses that God gives him of a future hope, of a future resurrection, where he says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that I will be with him. Because of that future hope is what sustained him and gave him the endurance. And therefore, like Job, we also can endure. We can be patient. We can establish our hearts. Why? Because the Lord is near. The Lord is coming. And the Lord is at hand. That is our hope. He had a long-term outlook. If you look at verse 11, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. Don't be nearsighted. Remember, there is a hope. As Job was given those glimpses, strengthen your heart. Endure because there is a future hope. In verse 11, we also see something of an encouragement of how we can be patient. And it involves two particular attributes of God, where you have seen the purpose or the end of the Lord, the end of the Lord's design for Job, how He will ultimately bless him, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. When we focus on those two particular attributes, we can learn to be patient. We can be patient because we have been recipients of God's patience. He was merciful and compassionate. And because God was patient and merciful with you, then likewise, we should be able to be with others. Imagine the patience and the long-suffering and the tolerance God endures with regard to us. When we do the same things over and over, and we kick ourselves, why did we do that? And God does not immediately strike us with judgment or discipline or anything. He is patient toward us. Therefore, we must be with one another. We're often so quick to judge and quick to jump on other people for their little faults, and yet forget God is so patient with us in our faults and our faults toward Him. So therefore, like the farmer, keep working. Keep waiting for that spiritual harvest. Like the prophet, keep witnessing and keep seeking opportunities to share the truth. And like Job, keep trusting and persevering with those who do you wrong. Isaiah says this, "But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." What a beautiful saying. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That is our hope as we wait and endure the coming of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father,